This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome this May 4th, 2019 to Radio Law Talk. Myself, I'm here. I'm just myself, Fred Penny. We've got Todd Cunin, we've got Denise Dirks, we have Cal Hunter, we've got Donna Hunter, our call screener, and I'm not talking very loud. Cal always has to push my mic up and down all the time.
But if you're here by yourself, then that means Denise and I are just the voices in your head. Hello, Fred.
Where's the new?
Where the Fred. Black matter.
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Todd, dark matter, Cunin.
I'm the devil on his left shoulder. Denise is the angel on the right
angel
shoulder.
Angel of light and dark matter. We've got angel of light, Denise Dirks, and dark matter, Cunin.
Go ahead and do it, Fred. You know you want to.
You know why Todd's so weird is because he has kitties, two of them.
He does?
And they're in charge of his life.
And you know what? I have three.
Yes, he does have three.
I have a little zoo going at my house. My daughter actually started an Instagram account called Teensy Zoo because of all the animals. What we got? We got three cats, a dog. If you count the cats and the dogs at her mom's house, you got three cats, three dogs, two geckos, a rabbit.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, Todd,
where do you fit in?
Where do I fit in? I would be in the doesn't matter category.
Radio Law Talk's been going on almost 2 years now. We've been doing Radio Law Talk for 2 years. The most famous Instagram or tweet photo of all time was of Todd, who shows a picture to all of his fans out there of his bed all messed up and cats asleep on it. And everyone's like, why did... And then he got more comments, not about the cats, is like, do you ever make your bed?
No!
What does Todd's cat say?
I don't know.
Meow! All right, look. I will say this. I read there was a military general, I think it was, who said that if you get up and make your bed every day, you'll be more productive because you've already accomplished your first task. And I'll be honest, when I do that, I do have a more productive day.
But that's your second task of the day.
Well, the first task is just getting out.
Going to the bathroom.
It's my one half of my push-up regimen. I do one push-up a day, one in the morning, and then at night, I'm done, and I go back down. So, but
no, your first task is moving all the kitties around to get out of the bed.
No, I don't let the cat sleep in the. Well, no, now I do. Okay, but whatever.
No wonder he doesn't have a girlfriend.
Oh, stop it.
Now I see why he doesn't have a girlfriend. He is single, ladies out there. He is single.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm sorry, it was too easy.
I know.
It was
too easy. Teed that one up for you. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you one of the reasons, and Denise, this kind of has to do with you a little bit.
So when
we started Radio
Get Lunch, ready with a creepy music.
Okay, so when we started Radio Law Talk, and we're all getting to talk and getting to know each other. And Denise and Fred knew each other for a while. I knew Fred, and I knew Denise a little bit, but then I get to know Denise a little bit more, and she's like, well, starts to ask me, well, what kind of girls do you like? And I can already see, the engine and the gears turning in her mind. You know, oh, brother, I'm going to get set up. Here come the blind dates. It's going to happen. And I thought, what is kryptonite to any setup attempt? What will ward them off? Because I know darn well, she's like, well, here's his Instagram account. You can go ahead and take a look at it. And you think he's cute, I'll go ahead and set up.
He's absolutely right.
I popped a couple of pictures of me with cats on Instagram, and I haven't had one setup since. Score one for the Todd Meister.
It all went downhill from there.
And honestly, I show them that picture, and they're not interested.
Yeah. That's right. Works. Look, I got too many irons in the fire to have somebody come in and say, whatever you're doing, you got to spend at least 40, half your time with me. All right, no. I'm
true man among men.
Yes.
Todd Cute.
Darn yes. Straight. That's the way it is, and I like it.
I'll tell you. What? We set these shows up, and they just go off the rails. I mean, not a little bit. They literally fall off the tracks. And now I got to try to focus it back on the tracks. I don't know what you're
I think the only way we can do that is to get on with Case or No Case.
All
what
right,
do you think?
I'll roll it.
All right.
Now
all
it's
right.
Time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
Remember, you can call us at 855-LAW-RADIO and tell us what you think about Case or No Case, if it's a case, and whether or not what the outcome is, or you can tweet us at Radio Law Talk. Now, remember, a lot of you don't want to be on the air, and that's okay. And so we have a lot of people that tweet us, or a lot of times Cal will take the call, or Donna, our call screener, and you can just say it, and then you don't have to be on the air. But let's find out what this case or no case is to see if Denise and I can get more points, because we each got 2 points last time.
That's right.
And then Cal, but anyway, so we're building our momentum, Denise and I. Go ahead, Cal.
And this should be in your wheelhouse, Fred.
Uh-oh.
Another musical case or no case, this one involving Joyce Hilda Hatto, an English concert pianist and piano teacher who married a guy named William Barrington Coop, a record producer, in 1956. She was pretty good, but she was not a true virtuoso. Then, later in their marriage, she became ill, terminally ill, while advancing in toward her 70s, and her husband, Mr. Coop, decided that he should make his wife a star before she died. So he started recording her and selling her CDs worldwide to make a piano-playing celebrity out of his dying spouse before the end came. When critics heard her play, they marveled at her skill, especially, they said, for a woman in her 70s. Then, sadly, at the age of 77, Joyce Hatto died. Sometime thereafter, just a few months after, Gramophone, her record label, became suspicious because a sharp-eared engineer heard one of her pieces by Liszt and thought, I've heard that exact same phraseology and keyboard work from another player. So he compared them. Then he started to look into her work more and more. Then he used a computer to do digital analysis and determined that the work sold as that of Joyce Hatto was actually a bunch of other recordings that had been snipped together by her record producer husband. Gramophone sought legal counsel. And so I ask you, and Fred, it's your turn to go first here. So I ask you, case or no case?
What year was this? Gramophone is old.
Yeah, the actual marriage was in 1956. She passed in the early 2000s, and he died. Well, actually, it all came to light in 2007. So there you go.
Gramophone. I didn't know Gramophone was even in business still, but we call Gramophone. Okay.
We could Google that. I don't know if they are.
No, we can't Google. The rules are we cannot look anything up while we're receiving instruction from Cal.
Despite Todd's best efforts to find a way.
I don't look anything up case-related. I you know, admittedly, I'm doing research and some things about stuff that will be coming up later, but nothing to do with...
Okay.
And the fact that what is Gramophone is typed into my Google account has no bearing. I'm kidding.
I get suspicious sometimes about you, Todd.
Okay, so...
Well, you know, ever since you post a cat photo, you know, that's what happens.
Not off the rails
Can't
anymore.
Be trusted. Can't be trusted.
Now, thankfully, the show's going along just fine.
Going just great. Off the rails again. We have all these new listeners going, what the heck?
Yeah, so now, so Fred...
1 minute left.
What do you think about the curious case of the elderly piano maestret?
Well, I want to think about this a little bit during the break because that gives me a little bit of an edge that I can make an opinion after the 1 minute mark is done. And Todd, bringing up all his anecdotal issues here, has thrown me off my game.
That's how to do it, folks.
Straight right now. I don't know. I'm a little confused. I'm really upset. And I don't want to sound like an idiot because I'm a smart lawyer. And we're going to do it after the break when I have time to think, contemplate this very important case. Without it, I don't think I'll ever practice law again.
Well, you won't get the spaghetti, that's for sure.
We'll be back after this with a bunch of numbskulls that can't keep on the rails.
We'll be right back with more Radio Law Talk. Stay tuned.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Not all law firms have extensive experience in all areas of the law. It's wise to look for firms that have knowledge and understanding in your particular area of concern. So go to ProLawFirms.com. They have listings of attorneys in key areas of practice, such as family law, estate planning, personal injury, bankruptcy, and so forth. When you're looking for a lawyer that has extensive experience in your particular area of need, go to ProLawFirms.com. That's ProLawFirms.com.
ProLawFirms.com is not a law firm. It does not endorse or recommend any specific law firm.
The cost of getting rid of garbage is high, and recycling products is lucrative. If you're a business or know of a business that needs an individual compactor or baler, call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. If you already have an industrial compactor, baler, or shredder and need service, don't forget to call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. Northwest Compacting, your full-service industrial compacting and baling company. Read more about them at northwestcompacting.com.
I am Cameron Levitt, Chief Operating Officer of Concussion Medical Clinic. California's first concussion medical clinic is now open. As concussions increase each year, there has never been a greater need for concussion specialists. Our physicians at Concussion Medical Clinic are board certified in pediatric neurology and sports medicine and have partnered with universities, hospitals, and rehab clinics to expedite the recovery process. Simply put, we are elevating the standard of care. When you need an expert concussion opinion or concussion care, visit ConcussionMedicalClinic.com to schedule your appointment.
Jason Rossback here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
To get back to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station.
We have a lot of favorite radio stations now. So it's a case. There's a copyright issue here. And who brought the lawsuit, Cal?
Gramophone.
Gramophone wins. There you go.
And I didn't say they brought a lawsuit. I said they sought legal counsel. I want to make that very clear.
Well, the answer is, there's a case. So do Well, if they sought legal counsel, I wouldn't know who would win or lose if they just sought legal counsel.
I mean, that means did they make it a case? And you said yes and they won, so that's fair enough.
Well, if they didn't, we don't know if they won or not, but I think they would win.
All right, that's what I mean. All right, so Denise.
Well, I don't know if Gramophone is Joyce's record label, or if they are the record label for different entertainers.
Remember, her husband was a producer of records, and he was a producer for Gramophone.
Now, that I didn't know.
Well, I'm fleshing you out as we go. You got questions, I'll be glad to answer them as they come along.
It could be a breach of contract, too, because if they were signing on for original works, right? It could be false advertising. It could be copyright or trademark infringement, perhaps. He worked for Gramophone, and I'm going to say that Gramophone didn't want to go through, have all the problems. They never brought a case. No case.
Interesting. All right. So you're saying that, yeah, Gramophone may have been upset.
They were upset. They sought legal counsel. They resolved it between themselves. It never became a case.
Okay. That's interesting.
Because he worked for them.
Oh. Good call. What do you say, Mr. Kunin?
As if it mattered. So I am going to say here that, yeah, the thing about this case here is that there's nothing really remarkable about it, and that's the thing that scares me. This is just a case where somebody put something out there. This is like the equivalent of what lip syncing today, where it's that's not your voice, that's so and so's voice on
the
radio.
The emotional hook is that he did it as his wife began to die from a terminal disease. That's the emotional hook out of all of this.
Okay, all right. Well, so thank you for letting us know about how this hooks.
Yeah, emotionally.
Emotionally, Cal has given us an emotional hooker. Great. So I am going to say in this one, I'm actually going to go along with Denise and say, I just don't think this is a case. I think you are trying to do the triple whammy for us today, and this is the second leg in your triple whammy trifecta of no cases, and I think that this is not a case.
Well, I don't think that's what Denise said. Denise didn't say it was no. Well, she said it was.
I said factually it's true, but they never got to court, so it was no case.
Okay.
And you're just saying
I made the whole thing up.
Okay.
May the fourth be with you all.
May the fourth be with you.
May the fourth be with you.
We can say that every month.
Right. Well, every May.
No.
Yeah, every May.
Well, there's a fourth of every month, so can't we say?
But not every month is May.
May.
Today's May the 4th.
So we could say June the 4th be with you, but it's just not the same ring.
Oh, I get it. May 4th.
Okay. Yeah. We have brilliant lawyers on this stuff. This is Radio Law Talk.
It's like, oh, no, Denise's client roster just dropped by half. Oh, no.
Denise, why did five of the clients just drop you?
This has been an interesting segment. Apparently, anybody in trial against Fred now knows if they call him Mr. Fluffles as the cat, it's going to take him off the
game. Throw me off. Oh, what the heck is that?
What the heck? I forgot what torts are.
All right, so
off the rails again.
Case or no case? Did the husband put out cobbled together recordings of other artists representing it as his wife's work? The answer to that question is yes, he did.
Yes. So it is a case.
That's correct. It is, in fact, a true set of facts. Did Gramophone get together and find it out the way I told you? Yes, he did. And the real question is, did they pursue the matter beyond that? Because Denise says no. Fred says yes. Todd says, you made the whole thing up. Well, I didn't make it up. I'm sorry.
You're done. Todd, you're out, right?
So the circumstances are true. Her husband did all the editing, splicing, and dicing to make his wife happy in her waning hours on Earth. He claims she really did record all of the pieces, but just not as well as the ones that he found of other artists that were either long since dead or, you know, that they had lying around that they didn't use or whatever. The fraud did not come to light until 2007, more than 6 months after she died. And as Denise presumed, Gramophone did not press charges. The husband continued to sell the illicit CDs. He later came clean. He apologized. Mr. Koop said that he'd given up worrying about possible legal consequences, said, I didn't think I've hurt anybody. In fact, I made people aware, I guess, of artists that they'd never long since gone, whatever. The Herefordshire Police Force said it will take action if somebody complains who's a copyright holder of the work that he plagiarized. No one ever did. Barrington Coop died in their home in Royston, England, 19th October 2014. And there you have it. Two
wow,
points for Denise, one for Fred.
You not only nailed it, you hit it like right on the head.
Wow.
I'm going to make Sarah proud today. Sarah.
Sarah is your sister, right?
No, Sarah is the person that emailed me a while back.
Oh, that's right. The one that said you were the smartest one. Yes. Well, see, she remembers that. Wow. And Fred's like, where's the cat?
I want to go off the rails here. I'm ready to go off the rails.
That is case or no case for this hour. Next hour, the case of the unwanted race car. So we'll do that next hour on Case or No Case.
Let's talk about Bones. What I don't watch TV that often. It's because I'm so busy. I do it in the evenings. But what is this? Tell me about Bones, Todd. You know, what's it about?
So Bones is a it's one of these detective shows that was on Fox, ran for about 12 seasons, and I believe it was like one of the most popular, or if not the most popular and successful show in Fox history and all that. And there was a lawsuit, and the long and short of it is people claim that Fox was doctoring the numbers to get out of paying those that were entitled to royalties
producer.
A certain amount. The case went to arbitration, and it ended up, the arbitrator ruled in favor of the plaintiffs to the tune of $178.7 million, and it included punitive damages. And when we come back, we are going to talk about how that award was substantially curtailed because of the actions of the mediator, Fred.
The arbitrator.
Yeah, and we're going to try to stay on the rails this time. So join us back live.
So stay with us, guys. We'll be back to talk about arbitration.
Bottom of the hour break coming up. We'll be back after that.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Rosbach here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Not all law firms have extensive experience in all areas of the law. It's wise to look for firms that have knowledge and understanding in your particular area of concern. So go to prolawfirms.com. They have listings of attorneys in key areas of practice, such as family law, estate planning, personal injury, bankruptcy, and so forth. When you're looking for a lawyer that has extensive experience in your particular area of need, go to prolawfirms.com. That's prolawfirms.com.
Prolawfirms.com is not a law firm and does not endorse or recommend any specific law firm.
Hi, I'm Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I bet you're tired of hearing lawyer commercials, so just relax and listen to music for a few seconds. When you or a family member has been injured, call 800-616-4LAW or see us at PennyAndAssociates.com.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
A passenger aboard that charter plane that ended up in the shallow part of the St. John's River last night after landing at Naval Air Station Jacksonville says passengers were terrific given the circumstances.
We climbed onto the wing. We were in water. We couldn't tell where we were, whether it was a river or an ocean. There was rain coming down, and we stood on that wing for a significant period of time.
Cheryl Borman tells CNN someone inflated a life raft that was on the plane. 21 adults were taken to local hospitals in good condition. An explosion rocked parts of Waukegan, Illinois last night, leaving at least one dead, four people injured, and two others unaccounted for. Steve Lindsay is the fire marshal.
The structure, no, is not safe. That's why we had some structural collapse technicians here to try and work with it. And we're also dealing with whatever chemicals may be left are in the water that's still sitting in the foundation.
The search team had to suspend operations due to dangerous conditions. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Go to the website, RadioLawTalk.com. You can listen to the show there, and there's a lot of other good information, too. That's RadioLawTalk.com.
Yeah, this bonus thing, it's just a little minor, you know, thing that the lawyers argued. $128 million reduction in the verdict from the arbitration. That is a huge victory. I mean, you're talking, all right, we're going, let me just see if I can get another $128 million knocked off your case. And they did. And there's reasons why they did that. Why Bones, really, the Fox producers of Bones did not have to pay that.
Yeah, so if you get back to the underlying arbitration here, that proceeding, that was done before an arbitrator named Peter Lichman. And Lichman issued a 66-page ruling in favor of the plaintiffs that basically ordered $50 million in damages, $128 million in punitive damages, and, you know, that's a lot of money here. That comprised the bulk of the $179 million award. But in the opinion, one of the reasons for the punitive damages was that Lichman said, writes this out here, that the arbitrator is convinced that perjury was committed by the Fox witnesses to justify what they did. So it wasn't just that they did what they did to arguably defraud or to keep people from getting the money, but then they came into the arbitration forum and lied about what they did to try to cover up their wrongdoings. And that might have been the basis for the punitive damages. But then we have to get into whether or not punitive damages were even recoverable to begin with. But, Fred.
So the issue is here. So generally speaking, again, we're talking very general. Check your state, your local lawyers. In a contract, it's almost impossible to win punitive damages. Punitive damages generally are like a clear and convincing evidence that someone acted with malice, oppression, or fraud. And it's very high standard. And so they're pretty rare that you get punitive damages. And that's why, you know, this one just all of a sudden just on that one, you got a gut check. But you brought up why the arbitrator might have said, you know what, there is punitive damages.
Because they lied, they're fraudulent.
Yes, but the question I have, Fred, for you, it's not rhetorical, legitimate, yes. I don't. So if you have a contract that doesn't say anything about whether punitive damages are recoverable, right, then your standard that you just enunciated about being clear and convincing evidence of malice and everything would apply in a situation like that. But what do you do in – does that even apply, like what I'm asking here, in a situation where you have a contract that explicitly spells out punitive damages are not recoverable in this action?
And that's what happened in this
And
case.
That's what happened yes. here.
As a damage to this contract.
Yes. So that's what happens mm-hmm. here. You know, the question becomes, well, if the arbitrator believed that they came in and perjured themselves, if you're lying about it, that tends to make me think that you knew what was going on then. That, to me, would support the clear and convincing standard of malice. And that would all be great if we were dealing with a contract where punitive damages were recoverable. But does it even matter in a case where the contract says, King's X, you don't get punitive damages, and both sides already agreed on it?
Now, this case came before the court as a breach of contract case, and then it had an arbitration clause in it, so then it went to arbitration. When you go into arbitration, it can be binding or it can be non-binding arbitration. We don't really know if this was binding or non-binding. I suspect it was not binding, because what happened, the posture to get it back to the court was the decision comes down from the arbitrator, and one party, the other side, brings a motion to enter and adopt this award as the judgment of the court, and the other side, Fox, then brought a request to correct and amend the judgment to get rid of the punitive damages. So the interesting part about that is that the court said, I mean, it could be very well be possible that Fox did not raise the issue of no punitive damages in the contract in the arbitration, but in the trial court, they can.
Yeah,
they can absolutely raise it.
What's interesting to me, and I'm going to jump on the other side, I think it may have been binding, and all they do is go to the court and just to validate it. Okay, yeah, you put their stamp on it, you know what I mean? Because an arbitration will usually be filed with that court that's local. Here's the arbitration. And let me tell you, courts love arbitrations. Why do they love arbitrations? Because they don't have to deal with it. They're too busy. They're stacked with work, and that's one less case they got to deal with. Yes, go over here now. This arbitrator, which usually Denise and Todd, is a former lawyer, retired judge, retired lawyer that hears it, and that's what the court's like.
So what we have here, just to get everybody, we've thrown around a lot of terms, okay. Where we are at, and the reason this case came up, is you've got the arbitration, you've got the arbitration award, the arbitrator was Mr. Lichtman, and then both sides filed with the L.A. County Superior Court. It went before Judge Rico, and the plaintiffs, the ones that wanted the money, said, Judge Rico, we want you to confirm the award. And the defendants, Fox, said, no, we want you to modify the award to take out punitive damages because they're not recoverable. All we know at this point is that Judge Rico issued what's called a minute order. It's a small snippet that says, okay, this is what I'm going to order. We don't have his full order, but in the minute order, it said, motion to confirm the award, that is, motion to give you all $179 million, is denied. Motion to correct the award is granted. Punitive damages shall be stricken from the award. The award will be corrected and confirmed as so modified. And so, basically, it appears that Judge Rico is saying, I have looked at your contract that you have argued. The contract clearly says that punitive damages are not recoverable. Therefore, regardless of what he found, Mr. Lichtman didn't have the authority to order $128 million. That will be stricken, and we're moving forward there.
Yeah, there's two things we have to understand, those of you out there listening, about these arbitrations. Generally speaking, again, we always say generally speaking, arbitrators have a lot of deference. Courts give them a lot of deference to hey, they can allow this evidence in, that evidence. They can make it so they don't even need to have foundation, what's called a foundation build. It just depends on the arbitrator. And I think that's where the arbitrator was thinking here is, okay, I'm still in charge, and I have a lot of deference what to do. But my question is, how do you miss this dead-on obvious thing in the agreement that both parties agreed to is no punitive damages. How do you miss that?
Because the arbitrator concluded that the plaintiffs in this matter had not waived their right to punitive damages. So there, even if there's a provision in the contract, you have to still decide whether or not that provision is valid or void against public policy or some other kind of thing. We don't know yet, but that's what the plaintiff said. This only deals with whether or not our clients waived this right. We're going to appeal it. We're going to let the Court of Appeals decide it. And then Fox, in return, said the court did it right. You know, they took away the punitive damages.
And let's look at how much time determining punitive damages might have taken out of the arbitration. Let's assume the arbitration lasted a week. I don't know, maybe it's longer, maybe less, but we're just going to call it 5 days, a week-long arbitration. The evidence about whether or not folks were defrauded and whether or not Fox gave false numbers or whatever, you know, that's probably going to take the first 4 days of arbitration. And then the arbitrator makes a determination based upon the facts about whether or not this occurred. And then at the end, they determine, okay, well, what's this worth? And maybe they raise the issue about, I mean, if I'm the Fox lawyers, I raise the issue first. Judge, you can't award punitive damages. Our defense, it says right here, you can't do that. And I think the judge probably heard that. I'm just speculating here, but I could see the judge kind of like taking a provisional in golf. If I can't find my ball, this is the one I'm going to play. And so the same thing here would be, well, I'm going to make this determination. If it gets stricken, it gets stricken. If it doesn't, this is the basis for my award. Doesn't take a whole lot out of the arbitration process. They didn't spend days on it.
Yes.
But this is what we have. And my guess is on appeal, they will be making the arguments about whether or not that provision was void against public policy. Maybe we didn't have the right to contest it. Maybe it was an unconscionable clause. You guys just said take it or leave it, and we had right to sign it. Who knows? All the defenses will come into play, but what we know will be at stake is whether or not ultimately, on appeal from this going forward, what's at stake is whether or not Fox is going to have to pay $179 million or $59 million or whatever it is after the...
Yeah.
Fox wins on appeal. That's just my take on it, generally speaking. I think that, you know, this is so blatant, obvious. It's not like these two people were farmers pushing their plow and sign this. I will put nickels on this, that they each had lawyers when they signed these contracts. They had knowledge of this phrase, and it's not like anyone was duped.
And I will say that I agree with you, but one thing we haven't talked about is if the arbitrator determined that they perjured themselves under oath during the arbitration, what is going to happen going forward on that separate case, perjury during arbitration, and maybe they try to settle it somehow?
I think they're going to settle it. That's exactly where I'm coming from. They'll appeal it, and there'll be a settlement somewhere in between.
Okay, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about Michael Jackson, Neverland.
Stay with us.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com.
If you're one of those, if you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. we could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Okay, so a watch is good, and some jewelry. Better grab some flowers, too.
Hey, what you doing?
Mother's Day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making lists, gotta plan a trip to the store, then need to save all the receipts in case she wants to return.
You know there's an easier way, right?
I'm guessing you do?
Yes, I'm gonna show you the easy, quick way to shop for Mom and save 30% at sunshine-pillows.com.
Ah, pillows.
Mm-hmm.
Great idea.
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows.
She always says she has stress.
And aches and pains, right? Look, they have hot and cold therapy products.
Ooh, it says we can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off.
Yep, just use this promo code MOM30.
You know, for a little brother, you're pretty smart.
Get something for every mom on your list and save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Now through Mother's Day only at sunshine-pillows.com. Use promo code MOM30. Sunshine-pillows.com, your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Radio Law Talk. Now, back to the show.
Is that high enough? I can't see. There's Tom. You have cats. I don't, so I can't get that
yes,
high.
Yes. Michael Jackson.
We've talked about Neverland for this Neverland HBO.
Leaving Neverland.
Yeah, Leaving It. That was about a month ago. It was on HBO.
That's right. You can still get it because they have their on-demand stuff. But this was the story that focused on two individuals who told their story and alleged molestation by Michael Jackson and it occurring at ages, I believe the boys were 8 and 11. They weren't together. It was different times for different boys, but they gave their stories. And, you know, look, the stories are not without challenges to the credibility. Both of these individuals, I believe, when Michael Jackson was being sued back in the mid-2000s or was being prosecuted, said nothing happened, and now they're coming forward to say that it did, so the stories have changed. And you know, they talked about that, you know, why they said what they said and when they said what they said, but yeah, it's brought out here.
Yeah, the one issue I want to bring up that's very important and the allegations, because, you know, here's a person that's no longer alive that, you know, he can't defend himself. But his estate is saying that now when they came and testified, these young boys, they were not young boys when they testified. They were
in
their 20s when they testified, and they testified and said, no, nothing happened. So it's not like, okay, well, a little boy testified when he was 8, and, you know, that's a little boy, and I get it that he didn't, you know, he didn't want to say anything. But they're in their 20s, and they're testifying on behalf of him, Michael Jackson, saying that he didn't do anything inappropriate. Now they changed their mind. Which is, by the way, the lawsuit that they sued, they had lost, and it was up on appeal, and they had lost that lawsuit. Now this Neverland you know, by HBO.
So what's happening is that the Jackson estate is suing HBO for depicting Michael Jackson out in a very bad way, and they're trying to invoke a 26-year-old contract that Jackson had signed with HBO. And in that contract, it requires arbitration. And in that contract, there was a secrecy and non-disparagement provision in that contract that the estate's trying to enforce against HBO.
Hold on. Just explain what non-disparagement is. Just so
that's where you can't hold somebody out in a bad light. You can't say anything that's negative about their life or their career or their profession. And arguably, Leaving Neverland, that show, held Michael Jackson out in a bad light.
So, you know, this raises a couple of questions. The first one is, well, how come they're not just going forward on a straight defamation of character theory? And one of the things that's pointed out here is that when somebody dies, they have a diminished capacity to you know, defend their character. They're dead, all right? So it's how do you show damages you're going forward? And so a person who's dead doesn't necessarily have defamation rights the same
right.
way that somebody who's alive would have. And so the Jackson estate had to find a different way to bring the lawsuit. And this agreement that you're talking about, now this is very common. To get publicity for new albums that come out and stuff, stars will often sign deals to have somebody follow them around and do the behind the scenes thing, and maybe do this in addition to a concert that comes out, and they have all this stuff. And HBO had signed on to follow Michael Jackson and do a promotion of his album Dangerous when that came out. And that was back in the early 90s. And as part of that, and you can see why the Jackson team would want this. If you're going to follow around, we don't want anything disparaging for us to come out. And so there was a non-disparagement clause in that agreement for the production of that show that surrounded the release of the Dangerous album. And the Jackson estate is essentially arguing that that non-disparagement clause goes on forever and ever. And HBO is saying, yeah, that one stopped when we were done with that production. And if that production and what we did in that production did not violate that agreement, then we're not in breach, but it doesn't go on in perpetuity.
That's the perfect way to describe it, Todd. That is a perfect way to describe it.
Could we get that on a loop, Cal?
No.
That is the perfect way to describe it, Todd. That just doesn't happen very
often.
If
she said it about Fred, it would be...
It would be on the loop.
I'm
still worried about being off the rails.
Okay, all right.
We're on the rails. I'm just worried about going off the rails.
What about Googly Gawk?
That's a perfect way to describe it, Fred.
Yeah. But that...
You just got three loops. All right.
So anyway, we're following this. This is something we've been following, this HBO fight with Michael Jackson estate. And by the way, Michael Jackson's estate, after he passed away, the amount of money that came in and his records and his music and everything just vaulted, just did very well. But this was a very disparaging thing on Michael Jackson. And it does, as a lawyer, you know, and even as a person listening to this, you just kind of have to like turn your head like the dog when you blow the whistle and say, they were in their 20s when they said nothing happened. And then they said nothing happened when they were earlier as kids. So twice they say that, and I'm being the devil's advocate, and now they're saying, oh my gosh, they bring lawsuits, they bring in it for money, and they lose on the appellate court, and oh, by the way, let's go ahead and do this Neverland interview.
And my response, I don't think anything that we put out here is the smoking gun, this will win the case for
right.
them. I mean, Fred just articulated what I think is a very valid argument on behalf of the Jackson estate undermining the credibility of these folks. I think the argument that's made on the other side is this. I agree that in the case of one of them, Mr. Robson, Let's look at him. He was, if you ever saw that show, So You Think You Can Dance, it was on Fox. It was the dance competition that was similar to American Idol. He was one of the coaches for the dance couples, the choreographers that would work with these folks. He was also a guest judge. Some of his career is directly attributed to the influence of Michael Jackson coming forward. And back in the 2000s, Jackson's still a hot commodity. You get his album that he died while preparing for the tour was coming up in, later on in that decade. And his argument would be, if I had come out and told the truth about Michael Jackson, given the way people that were critical of Jackson by the hip-hop community and the record community, that would have been career suicide for me. And so I felt pressure to testify the way that I did. That's for him. And the other gentleman who basically came back and testified contrary could make similar arguments because, let's not forget, he was an actor at the time. He's the one that was commercial with Michael Jackson. Right. And so they can still claim that it was the pressure that was put upon them, given the industry that they were in, that was their livelihood, that they felt compelled to support Michael Jackson, because if you went against him, they'd be a pariah. Again, not saying that's a smoking gun, not saying that that justifies, if they testified in court after taking their oath, clear perjury. But that's the argument that they're going to make. If I were to put on my speculation hat, I don't think that the Jackson estate is going to prevail on
They're
this.
They're not. I don't think so, because they just want to get into arbitration so they can try to get some money out of it. And right now, it's the court that has to decide whether or not the arbitration even can go forward, because does this little incident of leaving Netherland arise out of the contract such that the jurisdiction is with the arbitration, what is it, AAA, American Arbitration Association. And I think that that is a legal decision, and I don't think the arbitration itself can make that decision.
Well, I'll tell you right now, we're talking about it, everyone else is talking about it, someone's making money on it because they're getting a lot of publicity, and probably everybody's making money on this, and it's helped HBO.
Doesn't this smell a bit of desperation from the Jackson estate, because obviously the cash cow that they've been relying on, the Jackson family, you know, the whole Michael Jackson thing, they're not getting any money out of this. I mean, his sales are down. Everything's down about him. Doesn't this smell a little bit of a desperate bunch of people trying to get free money?
My take on it is, from their perspective, they sat back and said nothing and remained completely silent on that. They feel that would be taken as a tacit admission of guilt on his part, and even though they know they're going to lose, they have to say something so that it doesn't look like they're admitting his guilt.
And in all honesty, a person's dead. They can't defend themselves. And you know what? It's all about money, right? It's all about money. And I get it. I get it. We're lawyers. That's what we do. Hey, we're excited that you joined us for this wonderful Radio Law Talk while Todd takes us out dancing. I'm Fred Penny, your host.
Hour number 3 of Radio Law Talk is coming up. Don't go away.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
You pay my fee, I'll take your...
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.